We continue today to speak about how to be watchmen and to watch while you are doing your task and assignment, watching for the coming judgment of God on those who sin. Luke chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 24 speak about the prophecy of Jesus about the destruction of the temple of God in Jerusalem. Speak about his prophecy against the Jewish church who rejected Christ and who reject the word of God and his instruction. And the same issue that we passed today. The word of Jesus is standing and his judgment is coming on churches and people who reject his word and who reject his ways and who reject his will. Let us read Luke chapter 21. I started from verse 5 to verse 36. This is the very word of Jesus. Previously I was considering that this what he speak here is about his second coming. It is not about his second coming. It is about his coming judgment on the church that had rejected him. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another. Thou shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all this they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall stand to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are discharged, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with a power and a great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is right at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeitness and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you and unawares. For us a snare shall come, and all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And not your word, O God, and not my lips, and not each and every one mind and thought and ears and heart to understand, to take seriously your word and to put it into practice. I pray for our faith to increase as we hear the message we put into practice. We will continue to persevere, to trust you, to continue in the narrow way that you want us to pass. I pray, take this message with the power of the Holy Ghost and make it clear those who are in need to hear it. I come against all the work of David. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done in our life. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Most likely the disciples of Jesus are those who speak good things about the temple of God. And as some speak of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stone and gifts. So they mentioned to him that, you see, this is a very nice building, the stone, the gold, the gifts on the temple, the arrangement. And usually people, even now, they are so admiring when they see very big building, especially church building. They will admire it because they are happy to see good external things. Jesus hears that, what they say about the temple, and he told them in verse 6. So he was answering them, their admiration. They admire the temple, so he prophesied. He gave them the prophecy about what will be happening to the temple. As for these things which ye behold, that you are looking, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's very clear that his answer, that this temple that you admire now, that the day will come that you will not find this stone arranged, but no stone will be left over one another, and all will be cast down. So very clearly, Jesus was telling them, this temple that you see now, one day will be destroyed. It's very clear, right? In next verse, in verse 7, when they hear that, verse 7, and they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? So what they mean here? What they are asking about what? About which time the temple will be destroyed. Which time, when shall these things be? And the second question, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And when the time for these things to happen, what the sign that's there that we can be aware of the time? And you get the point here? So what they are asking about, which time the temple will be destroyed, and can you, there's any other sign that when we see that we know that this temple will be destroyed? That is a very critical, important question that the disciples ask from Jesus, because they know that the Jewish church against him, the leader against him, against his teaching, against his disciples. And Jesus answered that this will be going to be destroyed. So they are very curious about it, because their life link and their ministry link of what is going on in the future. And they were waiting for the Lord to answer them. And the Lord truly started to answer them in a proper way. And that's very applicable for us today. Because we are struggling on pushing the word of God, and we are opposed by bodies and churches who had already thrown the word of God behind their back. And I understand what Jesus prophesied about the church in Jerusalem that opposed him, that would take place also to those who oppose the truth and those who live the word of God, and they get busy with their traditions and culture and practices. Verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. The first things he warned them, he told them, they'll be coming after me, people, they said that we are Christ. And he told them, don't go after them. No. Truly, after Christ's ascension to heaven, there were people reporting history at that time. They claimed that they are Christ. And we know that they were killed. And they were killed also. The Jews worked out. Some of them support them. Some of them, they get opposed them. So they were killed. But what I understand now, when those false Christ appeared and finally they killed, it made me seem like a persecution, because the Jews also take part of their death. Now, when we see such things, we might be deceived. Oh, he's persecuted me, that is right. Have you get the point here? He told them, don't be deceived. Even if they are persecuted, they may not be the right people or the right Christ that they claim to be. Because his disciples, they know he's a Christ. But he told them, they may be coming after me. People will say, we are Christ. And from the history, the same came and they were killed also. Then how we can differentiate? We have the word of God. That's why we read the Bible. We compare things not with what we see or what we hear. We confirm things with what the Word of God speaks. That's why he told them, do not be deceived. And the last part of verse 8, he told them, go ye not therefore after them. Check the scriptures. Check the Word of God. They may do miracles, they may get persecuted, but go to the scriptures and see, are they fulfilling scripture or they are breaking scriptures? In verse 9, so the first sign he told them, false Christ will come to deceive you. False preachers, false pastors, false ministries to deceive the people. In verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Wars and commotions, God is moving his army to discipline, to punish, to correct, to bring judgment to those who oppose. Wars and commotions and disturbances all over the world going on, because God is about to do certain things to discipline those who oppose him. Next verse, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. This will be a war clear between two countries or two nations or two kingdoms. Wars and opposition. Not only war, but clear countries against one country, against another, one nation against another, one kingdom against another. Verse 11, there will be the natural calamities, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. He reminded them about earthquakes, sicknesses, plagues, viruses, famines, floods, all over the world we hear that. Next verse. So these are the sign of the coming judgment of, before the coming judgment, these all are there. But where God, which time God will hit, what he will hit next, that we have to be waiting and watching. But we are watching and waiting, we have to behave and do our assignment well. Have you get the point? We have all these things that I have written now is available. Now whom God will come to discipline and hit, we are watching and seeing. Why we need to watch? So that we take heed to repent and go in the narrow way. Because otherwise we will be like treated as they are. Verse 12, he told them, but before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. He told them, they will lay hands on you and they'll persecute you. And that's what happened to the apostles. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples that he's speaking to them, his apostles, they were persecuted. They lay hand on them. Let's see. Acts chapter 4. The prophecy of Jesus. In verse 3, when they were preaching in the temple, John and Peter, and they lay hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even time. They caught them. And next day, they brought them and they investigated with them. Verse 16 to verse 18, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, they make them a threat, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. That is the first what has happened. We can read a clear persecution to the apostles. They lay hand on them. And also we know in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. Acts chapter 8, heavy persecution against the church. And so there's Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and that is the death of Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad through the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You know, sometimes I was thinking and I was meditating, threatening and attacks. Not that it would come, but had already come also. You know, certain times the persecution will not be appearing because people are afraid of rules. There are certain rules in certain area, and even here, the rules had protected us from certain criminal people when we had rebuked them and we had dealt with their sin. But the threatening and persecution, it will be coming again forward. When we persevere and we will not compromise, devil will still continue to raise up people to fight against us. It will be an escalating. In chapter 12, you know, Acts chapter 12, that's around, I think, 15 to 20 years after the ascension of Christ. Acts chapter 12 speak about the death of James and the arrest of Peter. So there is a timetable ahead of us. We don't know what we are going to face, but that's what Jesus said. We need to pass through to prove that we are not part of the wicked, but we are part of those who would follow Christ no whatever the cost. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he took and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So what Jesus prophesied to the disciples for the persecution that had come through the same Jewish church that persecuted our Lord, the same high priest when he persecuted Christ, the high priest Ananias, the same was that even Paul, when he was arrested, the same high priest, he was the one interrogated him. Have you got the point here? When Jesus told him, this generation will not pass, he means the generation of the Jewish who persecute me and will come to persecute you, will not pass unless judgment of God will come on them, unless they will repent. Going back to Luke chapter 21, persecution will come, and God had a purpose not only to make us approve who we are for Him, because He said, do all what you can to be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. In verse 13, it shall turn to you for a testimony. When we be brought to authorities, God will use this time that you will speak to them the testimony of the Lord and our life. So these things God will use it also to preach the gospel to kings and also to rulers, those who oppose Christ will use them to be against us. But still God wants us to preach to those people the word of God. Verse 14, and say to them, set it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. He assured them that this will happen, and when you are there standing, I will give you word and wisdom that your enemy cannot oppose or argue or can do things that is not against God's will. They will not be able to oppose the wisdom that I am going to put in your mouth. And in verse 16, see here, the escalation of the persecution. There is persecution from the outside. Have you get the point? And in verse 16, there is another persecution from the inside the families. He says, and he shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kins, folks, that is relative and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Now here is creating the persecution that you will be hated. Hated not from the people outside. Parents, children, friends, relatives, cousins, uncles. Have you got the point here? The escalation of the events and the thing that was, because they asked what will be the sign to, he told them you need to pass through all these things until the graduation. Until the destruction will come on Jerusalem, God will deal with the Jewish cells that were opposing them. But before that, all these things you should pass through. And verse 17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be hated. How many of us be willing to be hated? We are very cautious when people are upset with us. We don't want people to hate us. But he say here, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Finally, whether we like it or no, we have to choose Christ, even with people start to be angry and start to hate us. We have to choose him. In verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Here assure them. He told them what the meaning of it. If I don't ordain it that one of your hair will fall down, that will not take place. Whatever persecution will come on you, if I did not allow it or ordain it, will not take place. He told them even one hair will not fall if I am not ordaining it for you to pass through. In verse 19, in your patience possess ye your soul. He told them, persevere. You will be able to save your soul when you give it away to God. Whoever loves his soul, he will come to lose him. But whoever lost his soul for my sake, Christ's sake, he will gain eternal life. In verse 20, And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Verse 20, that were the time of the judgment, when he brought the army of the Romans surround Jerusalem. So before he brought the army, before he brought the judgment on those who oppose him and those who oppose disciples, there are things the disciples should pass through. Ticket, false Christ. Ticket in your list. Have you passed through it? False Christ, deceiver, have you dealt with them? And then what they ask next to that? Wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, pestilence, earthquake, all these events, they need to persevere and behave as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. After that, they have been laid hands on them, they were threatened. Yeah? They testify to rulers, they stand before authorities because those who oppose them brought them there to punish them, but God used that opportunity to preach the gospel. And they were betrayed by their own families. All together, after all this passage, you expect the judgment of God. And he told them, when you see the armies around Jerusalem, then you know that will be desolation is near. The destruction and the judgment of God is near. And that really took place at the year 70 AD. Christ died in 34 AD. After 36 to 37 years, that what he prophesied taken place. And at that time, most of the apostles were killed, except Apostle John was still alive when he was at Patmos. And he gave them instruction. Verse 21, when he told them, when you see the army, he gives them what they need to do. Verse 21, he told them, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, those in the inside Jerusalem depart out. And let them not them that are in the country, those who are outside, enter there unto it. He told them, if you are in the city of Judah, go to the mountain, flee away. If you are in the inside Jerusalem, go out. If you are in other cities, don't go and hide in Jerusalem. Why he said to them this instruction? Because the Jewish, their faith was in the temple. Their faith that was in Jerusalem, that when there is any war, and you go to the history that we have in the Word of God, any army advance against Israel, the final city that the all the people will go and hide, read the book of Jeremiah. All the people, they dash into inside Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is a strong city. And they have faith in God, that this is the city of God, and the temple of God is there. God will fight for us. So any war, the first things they would do, the Jews, they go to Jerusalem. Jesus told them, don't go to Jerusalem this time. Leave it. When you saw the army surrounding, go away. Far away. And that's true. That's true. It is recorded when the Romans army entered Jerusalem, they never find a Christian there, because Jesus in instruction what he told them, depart. Can you get the point here? Now here, the Jewish who opposed Christ, they follow their own mind, their tradition. Anything happens, you go to the temple, God will protect you. That is their faith, and that's their belief. But the word of Christ, he told them, don't go, depart, don't enter into the other place. Now here's the point, when we have an instruction of Jesus, and still we want to go with our tradition and our own understanding, and the people with the crowd opinion, what will be the outcome of our life? Will we be destroyed or no? We will be destroyed, because we disobeyed the instruction. There's events in the history of the besiege of Jerusalem at that time. It says that God allows certain movements, the army of the Romans need to move. So that when they were besieged the city, there was some relief. At that time, the remaining Christians inside Jerusalem, they left it. Because they know what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit reminded them. Because they can. The Gospel of Matthew was already written. They have it. They have some Gospel, Mark, or they have Scripture. They know that Jesus wants them to move out. That's the value of the Scriptures. Why we need to read the Bible? To open up the prophecy that God is telling us today how to behave. In verse 22. But he told them why they need to leave. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. You know why I'm reading this one? As if I'm reading the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Jesus says, you see what he said, Jesus? This is the days of vengeance. God revenging of his people. That's the word of Jesus. That's not my word. Days of vengeance. Was Jesus revenge and God revenge? That's what he said. I need to believe it or no? I need to believe it because that's his word, not my word. This is day of vengeance. Don't think that I am joking. I would do it. For these be days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And he told them, verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. There is a great distress and wrath upon this people. And he say, woe to them, those who are with child, those who are pregnant, and those who are with child, they are giving suck. Why he say woe to them? Because very hard for them to flee, because they cannot run. It means there is no consideration. There's consideration when he says, well, there's no consideration. There's no consideration already. He's already waiting a long time for them to repent. That's the word of Jesus. And he spoke wrath. He mentioned it. Wrath upon this people. His own people. Jews are his own people because they have rejected him. How much more we are today who reject the word of God, who throw the word of God at our back, like a peeling of banana. Let us heed and repent. And verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be laid away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. He mentioned to them, they will be killed by the edge of the sword. Same like Jeremiah. The same exactly, if you read the book of Jeremiah, same. Those who go to the sword, those who go to the famine, those who go to the plague. This is the word of Jesus. We need to believe and we need to fear him. The Jews were, those who are not killed, the young of them, they were taken slaves to other nations. They sold them. They scattered them. God's judgment came on them because they rejected Christ and his word. And there shall be sign in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves rolling, men's heart failing them for fear, and for the looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. He does not mean there will be sign in the sky. But what is going on, as if God is fighting from heaven against them. Let me get the point here. As if God is the work of God now. Certain news when we hear, then we say, oh, that's God has moved, God has done these things. That's what he means here. For the Jewish, these have meaning, sun and moon and stars. After Christ, death on the cross, we know that the veil of the temple was cut from up down, and we know that God have departed from the temple. But they still continue to honor the temple, offer their, you know, ceremonial law and also sacrifices on a daily basis. They continue to hold their feasts and festivals. That continue because they believe that God is in the temple. When he say that there shall be signs in the sun, you know, as if, you know, when God is in the temple, that is as if like a sun, like something very, very clear, because that's God's presence with them. But when God finally destroyed the temple, they can't do any more worship because their face was in the temple, not only Christ. We, only Christ, our faith that we are the temple of God. But when he destroyed the temple, as if he took the sun out from them, they can't see. And even the moon. The moon is the Jewish church, they depend on the moon for their calendar. They are depending on the moon to count their days and also their feast. That's what he's saying here. Sun, signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. The stars are their teachers. What they will teach after? After destruction of Jerusalem, after destruction of the temple. And at that time, 70 AD, the churches of Christ had been separated. Because that's what he say in verse 24, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. 70 AD, there were many churches of the Gentiles. Paul already planted much, and that's all the apostles. Here does not speak about the second coming of Christ. He speaks here that what's going to take place, everyone will understand that God is moving to discipline and punish His people who rejected Him. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And he says also in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. It is not signs of time that they have saw in heaven, but what had happened concluded that God is moving with His army. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Have you got the point here? Not He will shake it by His hand, but He will do certain things that we know God is shaking the earth. When He brings, finally He will send His judgment on those who oppose Him. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26 and 27, the same, when the voice of God shook the heaven and the earth, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Have you got the point here? Not only there, but heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So here, in God's judgment, when we pass through all the quizzes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we have done well, we are graduate, then we can witness the coming judgment of God on those who oppose. And He do it as if heaven and earth are shaken. Those things that is against Him, when He's shaken, He will remove them. The thing that is unshakable, and we know what is unshakable is only the word of God, that if it is in our heart and life, will be remain standing and prosper. Let's move to again back to Luke chapter 21. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and a great glory. They will understand that this happened because they have crucified Christ. They have rejected Him. And when these things began to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is with me. He said, when this happens, you'll be happy now, because you know that no more you'll be persecuted by the Jewish church. Rejoice, and God has vindicated you, and God has dealt with your enemies. And speak to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Now he's confirming to them. He gives them a parable about the fig tree and also the other trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is now nay at hand. So likewise, ye when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nay at When you see all these things happen, then you know God, this is God's kingdom. He's establishing His church, dealing with the enemy and establishing His church. And when we see the shooting in the trees, we know that's summer. So when you see the, all these things taking place, it is the work of God, it is the kingdom of God. Verse 32. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. This generation is the generation of the Jewish who were contemporary to Christ. The same chief priests, Pharisees, that bodies of the Jewish church was destroyed by the Roman Empire. That generation that persecuted Christ, that generation was destroyed by the Roman army. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's true. And we need to claim it. What God's word say, certain time, we are looking, the people, they are wicked, but now they are becoming more prosperous. Judgment of God may delay, he'll delay until 36 years. We don't know which time will come, but there are certain steps that we need to pass through. And God need to do it, step by step, so that their sin will be to highest level, and also our perseverance also, and willingness to follow is will be also tested. But finally will come through. Verse 34 to verse 36, here Jesus gives them warning. And that is very practical warning for us today. As we are discouraged certain time, as we are already sometimes confused, as we are sometimes seeing the prosperity of the wicked, as certain time we see that those who do wrong, they are rewarded in a temporary way, we may be tempted. He give us warning. And take heed to yourself. Be careful to yourself. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged. Overcharged means deceived, confused, blackmailed. Let not your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting, loving to eat and drink and worldliness and enjoying life and relax. And keep the issue that you need to deal with, and God, what He wants you to do, keep it aside. He said, be careful of that. And the drunkenness. So that people drink because they want to forget the problems, they want to just keep their own mind, they don't want to be thinking more about certain issue. He said, no, you have to go through it. And take heed to yourself that at any time your heart be overcharged with self-feeding and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they may come upon you unawares. The other reason is that we need to be careful is about worries. How many of us today has many worries? All of us, we have worries. How we need to overcome it, how we not allow our worries to confuse our heart. We need to do our part, and we need to believe the word of God. Beyond that, we should not allow worries to control us. We should not do things because we are worried. We should do things because God has said to us to do it. As long as we have done this, what worries should we keep aside, because that's not our business. We need to trust God. He would bless what we have done for Him according to His word. Us. For these things, verse 35, worries, worldliness, drunkenness, loving of food and flesh and also other things, for us snares shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. These are snares, will pull us away toward destruction. This we need to keep it away from us. If you are willing to follow God, don't allow these things. Don't allow food, friends, drinks, enjoyments, worldliness to allow to come and stay in your worries, drunkenness, bad habit, because this lack a snare, and you don't know which time the judgment of God will come. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So here, we need to be watchful. Watchful about the stages that we are passing through, where we are now today. Watchful also if there are things wrong entering our life. We need to cleanse ourselves quickly, because these are snares will pull us. And spend time on prayer, speaking to God, fellowship with Him, with His Word, so that we will not be astonished when the judgment of God will come. Let's read Mark chapter 13 and verse 32-37. Just reading it, it goes with the message. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32-37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. That is the coming judgment on the Jewish church. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his word, and commanded, and also commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And let's read Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. We need to be watchful. Continue to be watchful, doing your assignment well, watching and waiting for the coming judgment of God on the wicked. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Have you get the point? If you will not behave, when the judgment of God will come, we will be naked and we will be ashamed. And God will allow it because of our disobedience. Let's all stand. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your word that you sent to us, to feed us, to teach us, to strengthen us. God, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon the church, those who are here and those who receive the message. I pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, they will repent. They will strengthen, they will be moving in the fear of yours in the name of Jesus. I pray to raise up workers and servants, watching on your word that you will fulfill it. Lord, raise up people who are willing to suffer, going through the narrow way, going through the assignment that we have understood from the scriptures that you sent to us. I pray, O God. Pray for perseverance. I pray for more fruit of the Holy Spirit. More love and joy and patience and peace, long-suffering, perseverance, gentleness, kindness, self-control, generosity, humility, righteousness. O God, teach us, Lord, to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly before you. I pray for those having problems, solve it, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are struggling to correct things, and they are doing all that they can. Aid them, O God, Give them strength, O God. Heal the sick and do miracles, O God. Aid your people. O Lord, I pray, let your promise come true. You said, not even one of your hair will fall except with your permission and knowledge. O God, I pray, O Lord, use our life, O God. Give us your word that when we stand before O God, we speak the very word that you want us to say to them. O God, take this word, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of it. Let it be a fruit, let it be salvation, let it be workers, let it be repentance, let it be people turn back to you. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. Give us, Lord, from home, so that we are not sleeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.